This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm and longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group provided the wonderful hats in choice of color for the most recent Todd Wright Tour Championship with my logo on the front and the Brandon Legal Group logo on the back. They are a full-service law firm, and you need not live, work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers. And if you're still looking for a mid to late July summer camp for one of your kids ages 5 to 15, Pin Chasers still has you covered. They've been doing camps since June, and they're doing camps at all three locations: East Pasco, 6816 Gale Boulevard, Midtown, 4847 North Armenia, the Veterans location at 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue. And beyond just camps, remember their late-night specials. Sunday night through Thursday night, there's always late night specials at all three Pin Chasers locations. Let's just talk specifically about the Tuesday Pizza Bowl. $10.99 unlimited bowling, unlimited pizza. $10.99 covers both. You don't pay $10.99 for the bowling and $10.99 for the pizza. It's both for one price, 9 p.m. to close at Pin Chasers. And of course, my golf buddy Drew Garabo from 102.5 The Bone makes an appearance on Bone Bowling Night. Also, $10.99 per person, 9 to close, unlimited bowling. No pizza that night included, but your Yuengling drafts are just $1. Also, Dollar Miller Lite drafts with unlimited bowling. Similar deal. The Miller Lite drafts are $1, unlimited bowling, $10.99 on Thirsty Thursdays, 9 p.m. to close. Pin Chasers, I mean, they've always got something going. Whether you're looking for a summer camp, a birthday party, a group outing, or just a late night special, I highly recommend Pin Chasers to all of you. Quite a weekend. I'm recording this on Sunday evening around 7 p.m., and I'm going to try to crank out a few podcasts this week, rather than cram a lot of stuff into this one podcast. This one podcast will primarily be about the earthquake that hit Southern California on Friday night, and let's just call it Earthquake Kawhi. Considering the impact that Kawhi Leonard's decision and what the LA Clippers did to make him come to their organization, it is so significant. You know, I did a segment with the Bay News 9 Spectrum Sports 360 gang a couple of weeks ago, leading into the beginning of NBA free agency, just about all the superstar player movement that was going to be out there. And we had to debate, or at least just talk about on the show, whether or not what it meant for the NBA's popularity against the NFL. That was a bit of a stretch, but clearly the NBA's offseason, as quick as it is, I mean, it's anticipated for days, weeks, months, and even years, and LeBron kind of changed the game with that. The latest move of Kawhi Leonard, who didn't want to play for the San Antonio Spurs anymore. And the Spurs realized that he wasn't going to change his mind on that. They didn't understand how his mind worked. So they dealt him to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for one of the Raptors' best players. And the Raptors would be renting Kawhi Leonard for 1 year. It couldn't have gone any better. There were no problems with Leonard on the court, off the court. In a great city like Toronto, the Raptors go all the way to the NBA Finals and actually defeat the Golden State Warriors in six games in the NBA Finals. And 4% of the population of Canada was actually at the victory parade for the Raptors winning the NBA title. And Kawhi leaves. So it was a rent-a-player. It couldn't have worked out any better, but the Raptors don't get the benefit of Leonard staying, even though the rules in the NBA offer an incentive for players financially to stay with their existing teams rather than leave as unrestricted free agents, which brings me back to the comparison to the NFL. Now, I do want to introduce into the conversation, as I have brought up on the Toddcast before, things are slowly changing in the NFL. Slowly. Kirk Cousins found a way out of Washington. It took him 2 extra years, but Cousins got out. He chose not to sit like Kawhi Leonard did. He simply played on a franchise tender 2 times before basically the 3rd time the franchise tender would have been so ridiculously high that the Redskins almost couldn't have put a team around Kirk Cousins and had to pretty much let him go into free agency. Then Le'Veon Bell did basically pull the Kawhi Leonard, sit out an entire year, although Kawhi was under contract for 2 more years. Bell didn't want to fall victim to the franchise tag, didn't want to go down that route with the Pittsburgh Steelers, or just did not get the financial offer that he wanted from the Steelers. And eventually, the Steelers decided, we don't want to do this again. They had every right to maintain rights to franchise Le'Veon Bell again this coming year. Instead, they simply stepped aside and said, you know what? We're not going to do this anymore. Bell goes into free agency and he signs a deal with the New York Jets. And obviously there have been some ripple effects based on how the Jets dumped their general manager after signing Le'Veon Bell amidst some talk that new head coach Adam Gase wasn't big on how much of the cap was being invested into Le'Veon Bell. All parties are saying the right things now, but clearly there was something going on there, and we'll see if there are effects going forward. But clearly there's more movement in the NBA with star players. I mean, you go all the way back to Shaquille O'Neal, and then a number of years later, Dwight Howard kind of played the same card to the same team, leveraging the Magic in what was called the Dwightmare era, or the Dwightmare saga. The last couple years, Dwight Howard was under contract to the Orlando Magic, even getting a quality, one of the best head coaches they ever had, fired in Stan Van Gundy. And it turned out Stan Van was the only one who really knew how to use Dwight Howard. And Dwight was just too stupid and too much of a fraud to realize it. And I guess you could say so was Magic Management, because they dumped Stan Van Gundy anyway. And it wasn't until just this past year that under one of Van Gundy's assistants, who then became available after he was head coach somewhere else for a while, I believe in Charlotte, did the Magic start making some progress again, made the playoffs, and actually won game one of the NBA playoffs against the eventual NBA champion, Toronto Raptors. Granted, they lost the series in 5. But there's the difference. The big difference is the star power of the players that switch teams in the NBA as opposed to the NFL. Let's also remember that in the NBA, the contracts are guaranteed, fully 100% guaranteed. Yes, Kirk Cousins got that from the Minnesota Vikings, but only after he played out 2 franchise tags with a team he didn't want to be on, with the Washington Redskins. Now, more and more guaranteed money is in some of these big deals for NFL players, but there's a huge difference. The superstar player in the NBA has guaranteed money. All of them do, basically. But this, we're talking about the big stars that move the needle, that get your attention when it comes to these transactions. The NBA players have the guaranteed money. So, yes, Kawhi Leonard leaving on the table, what, roughly $50 million by leaving Toronto to sign with the Los Angeles Clippers, much as LeBron has left money on the table when he left Cleveland the first time and then left Miami to go back to Cleveland, and then leaving Cleveland again to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. That incentive, it just doesn't seem to be working well enough for whatever reason. As more and more of these big-time free agents, Kevin Durant also being one of them, who's now left two teams. He's left Oklahoma City and left more money on the table, and he's left Golden State and left more money on the table. By the way, I know I'm not alone here. That net situation looks like an absolute disaster, which is too bad because they actually were a decent team last year. Granted, just made the playoffs, but they did some nice things in even making the playoffs. A key player is already gone, and they bring in two talented yet of the most miserable human beings in all of professional sports, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. These are two guys that no matter what they say or what you do for them, they apparently always find a reason to be miserable. And now you're putting them together. God help us with what's going to happen by putting those two guys together, especially when one can't even play, presumably, for an entire year. Good luck with that, Brooklyn. But the NFL has the franchise player tag. Now, I think it's actually been brought up, and it is quickly dismissed in the NBA, that the NBA would love, the owners would love to have a franchise player. I think we went through this when LeBron left Cleveland the first time that this was actually brought up. I guess the problem with that is, well, you don't really have it in any other sport. It only exists in the NFL. It doesn't exist in the NHL. Doesn't obviously exist in the NBA, and it doesn't exist in Major League Baseball. Otherwise, the Washington Nationals would have certainly used it on Bryce Harper to keep him in the fold. And so many other teams, like the Rays or the A's in the Billy Beane era, etc., would have used a tag like that to prevent players from going to cash in New York, in Boston, or in Southern California with the Angels or the Dodgers. It doesn't exist in baseball. It only exists in the NFL. And it basically prevents quarterbacks from changing teams. I mean, that's pretty much what it did. I mean, the only way Kirk Cousins got what he wanted and got out of Washington was to play through two franchise tags. So by the time they would have had to offer him a third one, it would have been not only a record amount paid to one player for 1 year, but it would have been such a high percentage of the salary cap that the Redskins just couldn't justify doing it anymore. Le'Veon Bell found a way around it. He sat it out, and the Steelers just said, we don't want to do this again. So he kind of got Kawhi'd in the sense that now Kawhi had to go somewhere for a year that he might not have wanted to go. It couldn't have worked out much better in the odd world of Kawhi Leonard, one of the best players in basketball who nobody seems to know anything about. He wins his title, and then he just leaves town, which he had every right to do, albeit leaving $50 million in guaranteed money on the table to go back, quote-unquote, home to Southern California, with the demand on the Los Angeles Clippers, a team that has existed for 49 years, either in San Diego or in Los Angeles, that go get Paul George. I know he just signed a long-term deal with Oklahoma City, but I'd like to play with Paul George, and I think Paul would like to play with me. So trade whatever you got to trade and go get him. Kind of like the Lakers tried once to do for LeBron to get Antonio Davis. It failed. It killed both the Lakers last year and the Pelicans, and now both teams are trying to move forward from that. Got the deal done. The Pelicans move on with Zion Williamson and a haul of Laker draft picks, and the Lakers did get Anthony Davis, but failed to get and put together another big three for LeBron by not being able to land Kawhi Leonard, but getting Paul George. And I've always been a big critic of Paul George. I still subscribe to the theory, as many do, that forever the only key shot he ever hit to win a game was in a Gatorade ad. Things got better last year. George was third in the MVP voting. He was one of the top scorers in the league. He was one of the top, I believe, top rebounders in the league. He had an awesome season. And now he's with Kawhi Leonard, who clearly is one of the best players in the NBA. So you're putting together, much as you have two of the best players in the NBA with the Lakers, you have two of the best players with the Clippers, as you have two of the best players still in Golden State, in Steph Curry and Draymond Green, albeit Klay Thompson can't play for a while. Many are calling Golden State a redshirt year. I want to see how that plays out a little bit. I'm not willing to write Golden State off. You know, let's just put it this way. If they can get Klay Thompson back for the playoffs, and let's say Golden State just sneaks in as a seven seed, you think they're an easy out just because they lost Kevin Durant and Klay missed most of the regular season? I don't. I think that's a very difficult scenario for a two or a three seed to play those guys in the first round of the playoffs based on their experience and based on how motivated they ultimately will be. In the East, now there's a lot of basketball analysts who got the Kawhi thing wrong, and I've enjoyed them getting hammered about getting this wrong. As far as I know, only Adrian Wojnarowski had it right. And for the time that I did Todd Wright Tonight, which was the basically All Night with Todd Wright became Todd Wright Tonight when I changed networks, going from ESPN to Sporting News, and I wasn't on all night anymore. I was on late in the evening, and part of the show reran as a morning show across the country. But Adrian Wojnarowski from Yahoo would come on with me regularly, and he's always been one of the best out there. And he proved it again by breaking very late Friday night the story that Kawhi Leonard was going to the Clippers, and part of it was a mega deal that the Clippers had made to bring Paul George to Los Angeles as well. So virtually all the loudmouths on Fox got it wrong, every single one of them. And this, of course, follows how for what, roughly a year, the guy who questioned my sources when he was some little talk host in Kansas City, when I actually broke the story that Urban Meyer was leaving the Gators. No, not the first time, the actual time he left. The second time. And he questioned me both on his show and on Twitter and never apologized to me. He doesn't even know me. He has the same last name as me, and he's an embarrassment to my last name. So I just call him, like Bachelor Party, I call him Nick the Dick. So Nick the Dick again showed his true colors. He's way, way above his pay grade working on national television the way he is. With his staunch KD to the Knicks, KD to the Knicks, KD to the Knicks. And other people missed that, but I love that Nick the Dick missed it because of how much he doubled down, tripled down, and went all in on it. So he got what he deserved, as did most of the loudmouths on Fox, as it relates to some of these major NBA moves, namely the Kawhi Leonard move. Now, there are analysts I do like, one of which is Jay Williams. He's more of a college basketball guy, but I just like listening to Jay Williams talk basketball. I think he's an intelligent human being, and he's one of those that, much like Jay Billis, look, Jay Billis is more of a college guy too, but, you know, actually, I'd listen to Jay Billis review a restaurant All right. There are some people that just, they exude intelligence and they speak clearly and they use information to formulate good opinions. And Jay Williams is one of those. And recently on some sports center on ESPN, Jay Williams, and this was before Kawhi left the Raptors, Jay was asked, based on the moves that had happened in free agency, were the Milwaukee Bucks a better team next year than they were this year? And he said no. Were the Celtics, based on acquiring Kemba Walker, losing Kyrie Irving, losing Al Horford, a better team than they were last year? He said no. Were the Sixers, who lost J.J. Redick and made a deal with the Miami Heat, but brought in Al Horford, a better team than they were last year? And Jay said no. And even the host pointed out, and I'm glad the host was actually paying attention, said, we just gave you, other than Toronto, the three top teams in the East, and you said they're all worse than they were at the end of this previous postseason. And he said, yeah. So Kawhi leaving Toronto makes them worse than they were the previous year. Now, we're still talking about the top four here. It's not like Miami's done anything to jump in there. And granted, Indiana had the late injury to Oladipo, where things might have been different there. But this also shows you how the East remains very winnable. Toronto won it for 1 year. And even though the returning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is in Milwaukee, it doesn't necessarily mean Milwaukee takes the next step. It doesn't mean the Sixers take the next step. There still could be a move of Oklahoma City saying, well, why don't we just move Russell Westbrook on, try to get even more draft picks back, and start over. And Westbrook could be moved to an Eastern Conference team that would immediately be in the mix to win the East, much like putting Kawhi on the Raptors put them immediately in the mix to win the East. There was even some reports the night that Kawhi announced he was going to the Clippers, or at least that the report came out, that Oklahoma City had talks with Toronto to move Westbrook there. And it fell through. It doesn't mean it can't be rebooted. I've seen Miami in the mix here. I'm thinking Daryl Morey's going to want to get Westbrook and reunite him with Harden, because clearly Harden and Paul aren't working anymore and everybody else is fair game. And because Daryl Morey really, really, really wants to win a championship, the problem is James Harden is not going to do it. That's what Morey has to admit to himself. Harden doesn't want it enough, the championship. He doesn't. Just, he's that guy now. He's that face of, it doesn't matter what he does all regular season, once it really matters in the playoffs, he will come up short. It's what he's always done. And we have every reason to continue to bet against him, much like we do other players and other managers or other coaches in other sports. And we've talked about those on the Toddcast as well. I saw one report on CBSSports.com that even the Orlando Magic could be a team that could put together the right package of players and picks to bring Russell Westbrook to Orlando. I've never understood why Orlando doesn't get a sniff of any superstar player. Not even a sniff. With no sales tax, the weather in Florida, the fact that the organization has gone to two NBA finals, just any player that has kids, the primary sponsor of the Orlando Magic is Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World can do virtually anything for any player that they want for their family. I don't get it why Orlando has become this wasteland. And they actually made moves last year with a good head coach, Vujovic, who they got in the Dwight Howard deal, amazingly. Has been a wonderful player for Orlando, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it was the first time I've ever seen it, you know, since Shaq and Dwight both kind of, for lack of a better term, shit on the city of Orlando and made it no man's land for other free agents or players looking to be traded to another team. Perhaps this is a small step in the right direction for Orlando just being mentioned as a destination for Russell Westbrook. But Again, back to one of the things that I wanted to bring up. If you're wondering why, if you're comparing the movement of NBA superstars to the perceived lack of movement of NFL superstars, although Le'Veon Bell just changed teams, Odell Beckham Jr. changed teams, but there's more that goes into those changes, right? Like with Beckham, it was a trade. With Bell, he had to sit out an entire year. We'll call it a Kawhi-type move. Kirk Cousins had to play under two franchise tags. It just takes more to get those things to happen in the NFL, and that's because the NFL, unlike the NBA and unlike other professional leagues, has that franchise tag, and that franchise tag is annual. I mean, it's one of those things that it would be less impactful if the franchise tag had to apply for the length of the deal. But the minute it allows you virtually every year to keep a player around. And, you know, sure, you have to use it year after year if that player only plays on the tag or plays on a one-year deal. But the minute you use that tag, take Dallas with DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end that they franchised and then signed to a long-term deal. Next year, the Cowboys, they can slap the franchise tag on Amari Cooper if they want. Now, granted, they've got to re-sign Dak Prescott. They've got to re-sign Ezekiel Elliott. But Cooper is the one that technically is most imminent to hit free agency. They can just throw the franchise tag out there on Cooper, and it applies, even though they just used it this year on Lawrence, because Lawrence signed a long-term deal, and now that tag will be available for them to use on somebody else the next year. Granted, also, in the NFL, it's a 53-man roster. In the NBA, it's a 15-man roster. In the NFL, we know how a quarterback is as important as anything else, but still you have all these other impact players, where with the NBA, you know, we're talking about one or two guys, right? Superstar players. When you get any more than that, it's a huge deal, as we've seen in recent years with LeBron and Wade and Bosch in Miami, and once Kevin Durant, and then later Boogie Cousins. I don't really want to put Boogie in that sentence, and Boogie joining the Lakers doesn't give them a big three. No, it's just Boogie reuniting with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, and if nothing else, gives Anthony Davis someone to look over his shoulder at when LeBron does something that Anthony, you know, wants to say something to and says, you know, we're not in New Orleans anymore. All right, enough for that. Going to crank out a couple more podcasts as the week goes on with plenty of other things, but I did want to talk about everything happening in the NBA, why it happens in the NBA, why it doesn't happen in the NFL. Some comparisons, and I think I've covered everything I want to cover for now. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Call them anytime for a free consult when you need legal assistance. Again, full-service law firm. You need not bother to ask me, well, what type of law do they specialize in? They have it all covered. And you do not need to live nor work nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. And the Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Those late night specials are terrific. They have a breakfast bowl every day before 11 a.m. And if you're looking for a summer camp, in these remaining weeks of July, Pin Chasers can still take care of you. Visit pinchasers.net, or if you need more info, here's the Armenia phone number of the three locations, 813-871-2695. Pin Chasers celebrating 60 years of keeping people cool and having people bull. You never pay for shoes at Pin Chasers. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember to subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast, and you'll automatically know every time there is a new Toddcast. And later this month, we will have the return of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Original Hooters. That's coming up later in the month. I'll update you on that as the week goes on.